The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jackie McMullen, Kevin Blackstone, Emily Kaplan, Bill Plaschke. A question after everything we saw this weekend. Helmet decapitating hits, proclamations from ninth place, creepy McVay stunt double. And that question is, where did everybody get all these milk crates from? Let's go. Seriously. Have you ever seen 45 milk crates in one setting before? I mean,
yeah, my house, I'm moving. I'm packing all my stuff in milk crates right now.
The first three possessions for Trey Lance, he was 1 of 5 for 9 yards, had an interception. His passer rating was 0.00, repeating the course. After that, 7 of 8, 93 yards, 2 touchdowns. And Jimmy Garoppolo, 3 of 6, 15 yards. That possession ended with an INT. Kyle Shanahan has made no decision yet on starter for the 49ers week 1. Bill Plaschke, around the horn to you. Do you read anything into that, that Shanahan still publicly hasn't said who his quarterback is?
No. It's going to be Garoppolo, but he has no reason to say it. Why should he say it now? He has till September 12th to make that announcement. Why show his hand right now? It's got to be Garoppolo. If this team has any sort of championship or playoff aspirations, they have to go with the guy who's one overthrow of Emmanuel Sanders from winning the Super Bowl. Garoppolo's still the guy. Lance is going to be great. He's going to be the guy eventually, but they have to win this year. They're poised to win this year. They can't put this team in the hands of an untested rookie. Lance, for example, I don't care how good he was pressured on 2 of 16 dropbacks yesterday. He's playing against second-team defenses, third-team defenses who aren't pressuring him. No, it's going to be Garoppolo. This is all a sham. It's going to be Garoppolo.
Emily Kaplan.
You know, Kyle Shanahan has spoken to the media 14 times this preseason, and 83 questions that he's been asked have been Trey Lance related. God bless Nick Wagner for counting them
that's
all.
That's a stat.
And throughout it all, he's been very chill and consistent about it all. And I think that's because he realizes he's got a great situation at quarterback. It's better than most teams have. I do think we'll see Trey Lance in week 1 in some special packages, and then I do think he'll take over a few weeks after that. But there is no rush getting a guy who has very limited college experience into a team that has championship aspirations. He needs to adjust to the NFL, but I also think the NFL needs to adjust to him. Ooh. He throws the ball very hard.
Ooh,
7
slip.
Drop passes, the most of any quarterback. I can do this. I can talk about the NFL according to the Pro Football Focus, and I think that his receivers just need to adjust to getting used to him.
Now, we all know, Emily, your background's in Monday morning quarterback just as much as it is in the NHL. Kevin Blackstone, bring you in here. He hasn't said it publicly, Kyle Shanahan. Does that bode well for Garoppolo or bode well for Lance?
Well, I don't think it bodes well for Garoppolo because of those 83 questions. The consistency there, as Emily alluded to, was him saying or suggesting that Garoppolo was going to be the starter. So given that you said that all this time, why not just say it right now? I mean, you're going to play games with your first week opponent. Stop. We all know that Trey Lance, as Bill said, is the future. Play him right now. Why not? I don't understand this. We in the media are far more protective of first year NFL football players than those NFL football players are of themselves. This is what they do. So put them out there. Let them learn real game experience. He's your future. Start it now. I'm all for it.
Jackie McMullen.
Okay, KB, but there's a difference between NFL first-year football players and NFL first-year quarterbacks. A big difference, because the quarterback is controlling the game, and the intricacies of his position that are going to decide how the team does. I'm with Bill here. This is Jimmy Garoppolo's job. Jimmy Garoppolo, we all know what he is. He's the placeholder. We all know that Trey Lance is going to be the future quarterback at the 49ers. But there's a reason they didn't trade Garoppolo. He's the placeholder to get them where we need to go, the steadying influence in the early part of this year to get this team going. Now, if Trey Lance outplays him in practice, you know, is lights out, then yes, they will supplant Jimmy Garoppolo. But that's not the plan, nor does it need to be for a quarterback that played only one game in college last year.
Kevin Blackstone, I'll let you get back in.
Well, we know that there have been plenty of quarterbacks who in their rookie year have come in and played very well. And we know that there have been quarterbacks who have come in later, like Mahomes, and we said, why wasn't he playing the very first snap of the very first game of his career? And I just think that it's time, the way that these games are being played now, the expectations of these franchises, and the fact that you've seen what you've seen, you know what these guys can do. They traded the world to get Lance. Put him in
Blaschke?
There.
Isn't it possible, KB, that Mahomes played so well because he had a chance to sit and learn and watch, and maybe that's why he did so well, because he didn't start the season and get his butt kicked out there. I could drive me crazy. The media and fans go crazy for these preseason stats. They mean nothing.
Okay, but Bill, you think that not naming a quarterback puts them at an advantage over the Detroit Lions? You nodded vigorously when you heard, oh, yeah, you got to keep the Detroit Lions on their heels.
Why should he say anything now? Well, why should he show his hand, give them two players to prepare for? That's just common sense.
Common sense does not always apply when it comes to quarterbacks in the NFL. We're going
to
move on.
This hit defies.
Blaschke. I'll take that heat from you. I like it. A little fire from Bill Blaschke on a Monday. The hit on Justin Fields. All right. The Bears were down 41-6 in the fourth quarter of their preseason game, and this is the hit he takes. Oof. Earlier, Andy Dalton back-to-back three and outs and booed by Holmes fans. Matt Nagy not hearing it. We need to see Dalton in the regular season. He's starting week one, is what Nagy passed on. Emily, the Chicago right behind you. Does Nagy have this right with the quarterback of the Chicago Bears?
You know, you guys all just mentioned Mahomes in his first year. I wish Matt Nagy came out and said, I was in Kansas City. This is what we did with Pat Mahomes. We sat him his first year. He sat behind a vet, and look how it turned out. But he hasn't outright said that. Instead, his messaging has been super confusing. It's more about what he's promised Andy Dalton rather than what's best for Justin Fields. And living here in Chicago and talking to my friends who are Bears fans, that's their biggest disconnect, because it's become this self-fulfilling prophecy where now he's dug his heels and we're 2 weeks before the season. Justin Fields is still getting third and fourth team reps, and he's not ready for week one. They never gave him the chance.
Kevin Blackstone, what you read in Chicago?
Well, you know, once again, it's almost like I have to repeat myself. I mean, here is a franchise in the Bears and a fan base that has been dying to get a quarterback. Now they've gone out and picked one, and people think he's done very well during the practices, and he's looked good against second stringers and all of that. And we know that he brings a second dimension to the game in terms of what he can do with his legs. And so I just think, once again, don't have to be worried about this guy. Send him out there. You can get your reps in practice. You can get your reps in preseason games, but we know there's nothing like the real thing, and you can put him out there now. Troy Aikman, Peyton Manning, how did it work out for them? You can point out people for whom it didn't work out, but I can also point out people.
Well, it didn't work out for the team in the first season of those teams, right? Aikman was 0-11 on a team and Peyton Manning famously was 3-13 and turns it around very quick. Jackie Mack, I'll bring you in here. And let me just throw one more thing here. How it went with Trubisky, drafting him so high and playing him out, is that in the back of this franchise's head here with Fields?
It shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. They're two completely different quarterbacks with two completely different skill sets. Am I the only one that feels a little bad for Andy Dalton here? Because they're booing the guy off the field. He didn't tell the Chicago Bears to promise him the starting job, but that's what they did. They've painted themselves in a corner. It's obvious to everyone that's watching these games. Justin Fields is electric, exciting. He exudes the future. He exudes, oh, my gosh, let's get this guy out there. He can elude the rush that's going to inevitably going to happen because this offensive line isn't very good. But then I see that hit, and it gives me pause. And here's the other thing that makes this different than what's going on with the 49ers. Kyle Shanahan isn't going anywhere. Matt Nagy doesn't know if he's going to be around. He's also fighting for his job. So he's got to figure out who's going to win for me right now. Is it Andy Dalton, who can throw the ball downfield, something the Bears haven't had at quarterback in, I don't know, a century? And so he's promised this guy a job. What if he doesn't give him the starting job and he's told everybody on the team, hey, I promised you'd start, and then he goes back on his word? How does
Nagy
that work?
Nagy specifically said he's going to do what's best for Justin Fields, you know, and he's going to do what's best for this franchise.
Right.
But Blaschke, watching the game this weekend, watching the hit that Fields took, and watching and hearing the boos of Andy Dalton.
I'm not listening to the boos. KB, you know who the Bears play the first game of the season, right? They play the Rams.
They play the Rams.
Remember the Rams defense was ranked last year?
Another professional football team.
They were ranked number one overall.
Baby.
You know how many since the merger? Do you know how many rookie quarterbacks have started the season against the number one defense in the previous season? None. Zero. Because they didn't want to get his head knocked off. He'll play eventually, KB. Be patient. He'll play eventually. He's not going to play against the Rams.
Can we just drill down for a second on this promise to start both Andy Dalton this week, but the promise that came in March, the QB1 that came over Instagram, that was before Justin Fields. Do they have to stand by that promise, Emily?
The NFL is supposed to be a meritocracy. I think all players come into training camp saying you have to earn your position. And so I feel like if I'm a player and I'm on Matt Nagy's team and I know that he kind of made a promise to another player, then what is competition? Why are we doing training camp anyway? I don't like it.
One more rookie quarterback story. Zach Wilson, New York Jets, 9 of 11, 128 yards and 2 touchdowns. Nearly perfect. Jackie, your Zach Wilson review.
Oh, come on. This is what New York has been waiting for. This is what my father has been waiting for since Joe Namath, for crying out loud. Zach Wilson has looked absolutely fantastic. The passer rating, 154, that's great. But here's what I looked at. 4 drives, 17 points. He puts the ball in the end zone. Of all the rookie quarterbacks so far, this to me is the most obvious no-brainer, maybe except for Trevor Lawrence. This kid, I think, has a shot to be something great. And I know it's preseason, and I know he's not always playing against the first team. But sometimes you watch a guy and you say, you know what? He's got it. And it looks to me like that's Zach Wilson today.
Bill Plaschke?
Jackie, you said he's not always playing against the first team. He's never played against the first team. He looks great. His arm is great. I love his poise. To come into New York in that environment and act the way he's acted is very, very impressive. His 6 possessions, he hasn't had a 3-and-out yet. So he's been tremendous like that. But let's just cool our jets on this one as well, and let's just see what happens when he'll start the season. He'll take his lumps. The Jets aren't making the playoffs. They're going to win 5 games, maybe 6 games, but he'll be a little more excited.
Okay, thank you. Thumbs up or thumbs down to cool your jets from Plaschke.
Man, Bill, you're such a downer today, dude. Come on, cheer up. Cheer up, dude. Cheer up.
My take is that his arm looks great. Everyone is pumping him up, though, right? Robert Saleh is pumping him up. Aaron Rodgers is pumping up. And we all know how Aaron Rodgers feels about young quarterbacks. The NFL is even pumping him up. Look at the league's Twitter account today. Their banner photo is Zach Wilson. And he looked incredible in this game. 17 points in the first half. The team didn't get that until week 9 of last season. But I'm not about to name him the second coming yet. What he has earned is being the only rookie quarterback that has been named a week 1 starter. And we'll see where it goes. That's all he's got right now.
Mm-hmm. Blackstone.
Jackie mentioned your dad and Joe Namath. Joe Namath, another quarterback who started during his rookie year. I'm glad for Jets fans.
Give it a rest.
I'm just giving you facts. I'm glad for Zach Wilson. He does look great against whoever he's playing against, and I look forward to him playing his first game of the season.
Papa McMahon,
I'm sure
How old is dad now, Jackie?
96 years young. Fred McMahon going strong.
God bless him. All right. Buy or sell break right now. Coming up, Prefontaine Classic, which includes this finish, this interview, and that look right there. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Bless your heart.
That's how the
look of experience.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
The second fastest time in the 100 meters ever. Everybody was focused on Sha'Carri Richardson, understandably. Elaine Thompson-Herah, a missile. 0.05 of a second from Florence Griffith Joyner's 33-year-old record. Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce, Sharika Jackson, 2 and 3 again. Jamaican dominance again in the 100 meters. But now Richardson. Last in her return after the marijuana suspension and missing the Olympics. She finished 9th. She asked if people missed her yet during the Olympics. Her time, 11.14, nearly half of a second back of where she was 4 months ago. Take a listen to this after.
Count me out if you want to. Talk all the you want, because I'm here to stay. I'm not done.
So this is a conversation about confidence in the athlete. This is a conversation about return. This is a conversation about arrogance. This is a conversation about everything, Jackie. What did you hear from Sha'Carri Richardson there?
Yeah, but let's not also forget it. It's a conversation about mental health. Sha'Carri Richardson lost her mother, got banned for marijuana during the Olympics, became the topic of conversation, of derision and some applause by others. And she's just a kid. So this is positive self-talk. This is what all elite athletes are taught to do and say and behave. But when I look at that, I'm not going to count her out because I think she's been through a lot. And 1 month is not enough time to grieve and overcome the loss of your mother. I don't care how old you are, but especially as a 21-year-old. So I'm not passing judgment on her, nor am I saying that this young lady's career is done. I think she'll be back, but she'll be back on her own time. Let's give her some time.
Devin Blackstone.
In the weeks before the Olympics, I came on this show and I said, I can't wait to see Sha'Carri Richardson run at the Olympics because I thought that she was on pace to set a world record. And I was doubly disappointed at the fact that she couldn't get there because of a choice that she made to self-medicate herself after having revealed that she had lost her mother. But this particular performance, after she tweeted during the Olympics whether or not we missed her, after she tweeted that she was going to really show out in this particular race and show everybody where she stood, to come in last is really humble pie. Not just a slice of it, but the whole thing. And I can't wait to see her really bore down and become more professional, because this is what this is. This is a professional endeavor when you are running track and field at the level that she is. And I really think that that's where she needs to dedicate herself right now, because right now she's losing to everybody.
You believe she was unprofessional with her post-match comments, Kevin?
I believe she was unprofessional in her approach to what she's doing. You can't talk the talk and then not even be close to walking the walk. That's really what I'm referring to.
Let's bring in Emily Kaplan here.
You know, when Sha'Carri got busted for weed, we said there was no playbook for grieving. I also don't think there's a playbook for being thrust into the spotlight. I mean, how many last place finishers get an interview like this, the one that we just saw? So for her, I just think that she's going through a lot right now. She might sound a little too overconfident. She's might not getting the results that we want, but let's give her a little bit of grace. She's just 21 years old. She's figuring it out.
And Bill Plaschke, how do you see it?
Just as we understood Simone Biles, we need to understand Sha'Carri Richardson. We need to understand what she's going through. You can tell from that interview, she's stressed out. She's been through a lot. To be thrown off the Olympic team for doing something that's legal in many states in this country, and then not to be added to the relays, even though you're the fastest woman in the country, that had to be a huge blow to her. Her personal issues are a big blow to her. She's been through a lot. I think we have to totally give her a pass on it.
Kevin, you're making a face here. Please, come back in.
Well, I was just going to say, I heard the argument about adding her to the Olympic team, but who are you going to remove from the Olympic team? Another woman who put in 5 years of work to get that far and to have her chance to shine on the international spotlight? I don't think that would be fair either. And what we're really talking about here is maturity. It's not about age. I think Mo is 19. Sydney McLaughlin is 22, just a year older than Sha'Carri Richardson. She needs to look at the way that they've kind of carried themselves in these events. And like I said, she's got all the talent in the world and just bore down.
I do feel everyone is supplying their own feelings to how she feels. Bill, you said this is somebody who's stressed out. She is not necessarily saying that. What she is saying is she's confident in her abilities, which I think you all agree athletes need to be to succeed. But in this race, she finished 9th, Bill Plaschke. Should she be as confident in herself speaking about herself after a race like that?
If she doesn't believe in herself now, nobody's going to believe it. Emily makes a good point. How many times did they interview the last place finisher? How many times did they put them under the spotlight? She gave an answer that I think is expected.
It's
defense mechanism, right? That's a classic defense mechanism.
Right, exactly.
That's what that was. Yeah, that's human. That's what that is.
Kevin Black is so Jackie McMullen. Thanks for your time today. Bill Plaschke, Emily Kaplan, Showdown. 2 minutes.
Go, Bill.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
On the list of all-time great right-handed batters in the history of Major League Baseball, submit Miguel Cabrera. There it is, home run number 500, 28th player in baseball history to hit 500. Bill, how do you consider Miggy 500?
One of the greatest overlooked players in baseball history, a career batting average of 311. That ranks him fifth in the 28 people in the 500 home run club. Four batting titles, equal only by Ted Williams. And he won a triple crown. He won a triple crown. We still don't talk about him. Let's talk about him now.
The thing we don't talk about is guys when they're still playing. So I'm glad this happened because the last couple years, he's just been on an uncompetitive team with a bloated contract. But as Bill said, he is one of the all-time greats, the greatest player ever from Venezuela. And I'm really glad that we're celebrating him.
It's just an amazing thing when you say it's only he and Ted Williams, Bill Plaschke. That'll get you the tiebreaker for the point. We'll move on. Sean McVay's body double, Emily Kaplan. Cool or creepy?
Oh, man. I want to be saying this is the coolest thing because nothing Sean McVay can do that is not cool. But look how creepy this is. He's so good that, honestly, I think this guy could get an offensive coordinator job next year. That's how good of a double he is.
I know Les Snead. I know the Rams. I wouldn't put it past him to have planted this guy in there to try to fool the other teams into thinking he actually is McVay, to look at him for signals, for hand signals. Officials look at him. I'm calling conspiracy theorists. The Rams have something nefarious going on here.
Well, didn't you read the story that he got taken out in the sidelines and people thought it was McVay who was taken out? So maybe you're on to something.
Rams are intentional.
30 seconds of FaceTime goes to Los Angeles.
So in a pennant race game yesterday, the Dodgers lost after Cody Bellinger was thrown out trying to steal second base. He actually stood up between first and second base, was tagged out by the Mets. The Dodgers lost the game. And afterward, manager Dave Roberts said, "It was a miscommunication on my part. I own it." How many times do you hear a manager admit that he blew a sign, that he gave the wrong sign? Never happens. This is why the Dodgers have won 16 to 20 games. This is why Dave Roberts in five previous years has five division titles, three World Series appearances, one World Series championship. This is why Dodgers are going to win it again. Kudos to Dave Roberts.
Over. It's great over. They're going to win it. You know that? And because they have a $250 million payroll is why they win, too. That's it. 23 and a half hour break. See you.